Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning once again. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday. Thank goodness, May 1st.
It is the first day of May.
Yes, welcome to the show, everyone. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
I'm in a good mood. I'm energized. It is Friday, and I'm looking forward to a nice weekend.
Great.
Yeah, yours is probably going to be a busy one, busier than mine.
Yes.
But it always is.
It is.
So we need not discuss it until after the weekend.
Right. I'll tell you all about it on Monday.
Exactly. Exactly. No previews.
No.
Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to get to our guests. We have very special guests in the studio. It's going to be an awesome show, I know, because they're involved with a film about stuff that I love, you know, things like that, all kinds of scientific stuff and, you know.
Cool.
So, yeah, that would be cool. So, Lauren was here yesterday. What was it? You guys went to the Price is Right afterwards?
No, the day before.
Oh, that was the day before.
Yeah.
Because you hadn't mentioned anything. I thought, wow, it must not have been a big deal for you.
It wasn't really.
Okay.
It was a nice experience. I was worthy of an Instagram post, I guess.
Yeah.
But other than that.
Really? So you guys watched the whole game, kind of?
Yeah.
In the audience?
We have a friend who's a producer on the show, and so she brought us in as audience members for the last episode of the season.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And the guy in the picture, is that the new host now?
No, Drew Carey's the host.
That's right, okay.
The guy we were with in the picture is the announcer.
Oh, that's the announcer?
Yeah, George Gray.
Okay. Yeah. You see, I remember that show from when I was a kid, before you were born.
It's had 44 seasons.
Yeah. There were a lot of different people back then.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, there were like, there were all kinds of scandals with the show, but the host, Bob Barker, sexually abusing his models there and all that stuff. So
yikes.
That was like a big deal at one point. Yeah. And it was funny because, I mean, he was like 70, 80 years old and he had totally jet black hair. And you knew something's wrong, right? Until one day, I guess he discontinued the show. He left the show and he decided to stop dyeing his hair.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's got like a shock of white hair. And I think he's still alive. And it's, yeah, I mean, the show was equated with him. You know,
right.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
I do but think I guess of him Drew, when I think of the show.
Really? But I guess Drew Carey is pretty good, too. I've seen him in action, like as a comedian.
Yeah.
He's funny.
He's really funny. I think the funniest part is actually on the commercial breaks with Drew and George going back and forth and like making the audience laugh.
Oh, really?
It's so a good time.
That's what we don't see on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They keep the audience amped up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So how long does a taping take?
Obviously, an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's in real time?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. And what, they do they shoot every day, or is it like a few shows?
They do a couple shows a day.
A couple shows a day.
Yeah.
So they don't have to work 5 days a week.
I think that they do still work the other days, but they do different things
right.
on those
they
days.
They don't shoot on those
right.
days, yeah.
Like they do more production meetings and things like that.
Right. Okay, cool. So it wasn't a big deal for you, but it was nice. Like you said, worthy
yeah.
of a picture.
It was a cool thing to do. I mean, when you go to, like, when you live in LA, like, you have to do that at least one time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never, I haven't been to many tapings. I remember I've been to the, are you familiar with Three's Company?
Yes.
Okay. So I went to the taping of the final show. And that was amazing, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, with John Ritter and Suzanne Somers and everything. And obviously, they became even bigger after that. But
yeah.
But that was a cool show. I mean, it definitely was in touch with the 80s, you know, and what it was making fun of. So it was funny. Let's see. So now, I guess with the Baltimore thing, we don't really need to add any more coverage. There's so much.
There's a lot, but they
right?
had a verdict today.
Yeah, a verdict?
Yeah. The six cops that were part
yeah.
of it are, I think, cited for
really?
Homicide. Yeah.
Wow.
Because there was that extra stop they did, and so they...
But I think this says an arrest warrant. It doesn't say they were...
Or maybe they were arrested. Something. They were arrested for homicide.
Yeah, they were arrested. Yeah. Did you say convicted?
No, yeah. Not, they couldn't have been convicted right. yet, because there was no trial yet. But yeah, they were arrested for homicide.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Six cops?
Six.
Wow. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Wow, this is going to be just like the stuff in LA with Rodney King.
Listen, if it makes an example, I mean, if it puts the police brutality mm-hmm. in the like forefront of our issues, and it finally like gets
yeah,
you know, resolved in some way, or at least I don't know, they need to make changes. They do.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, Ferguson, Missouri was not enough of an example.
Right.
So,
I know, and it keeps happening. You know, the guy in New York also,
mm-hmm.
you know, I forget, what was his name? I don't remember.
I forgot too.
The guy that was selling cigarettes and they choked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is happening all over the place and it's pretty sad, you know, but, and it's scary as well because we are raised to trust the police, to put our lives in their hands and everything. And then they turn on you.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, I mean, I don't know why he was arrested, but the thing is also, we got to remember though, that all these people, why were they in confrontation with the police in the first place?
Well, this guy had a switchblade on him.
Really?
Is what they were saying.
I mean, was he attacking anybody?
I don't think so.
Yeah. See, I don't know what... I need to read up on that to know why he was arrested in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, but... yeah. Criminal or not, you know, I guess someone is innocent until they're guilty in court. You know, right. So we can't say they're criminals, but they're suspects, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, and we also don't know that Freddie Gray was a criminal because right. he doesn't have the opportunity to go to trial.
Right, exactly.
So.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens. So that's, yeah, and that's a city with a lot of black officials, so I think people are more trusting, you know, the attorney general and the mayor and the, not the governor, but, yeah. So anyway, that's that. What else did I want to bring up? We were talking about something yesterday with Lauren and that I wanted to comment on, but now I can't remember. I was listening to the show over when it was playing the replay late yeah. at night, and it was fun, you know. This time the whole show was relationship.
Right.
You
know? Well, we did talk about earthquakes.
Yeah, also. for two whole minutes.
And organization.
Yeah. That's true, huh?
We did.
Being neat and stuff, that's true.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our guests right now who are sitting here patiently, and I'm eager to talk to them. We have Sterling Gates and Lindsay Sawyer. I'm sorry. How am I butchering people's names? You know, the thing is, people don't realize a name is the most important thing to a person. Wouldn't you say? You don't want to butcher people's names.
It's up there, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Especially for reporters and people in the media and stuff. You know?
Like yourself.
Like myself. And did I tell you that our reporter that did our story did a great factual error?
What was it?
He misspelled Adam Carolla's name.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, a few times in the article.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not very good, you know?
No.
When you talk to people, you need to know their name. So, Lindy Sawyer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Of course. And Sterling. So Sterling told us he only lives a few miles from here. Do you live nearby, or did you have to come far to the show?
I'm not too far. I'm in West Hollywood.
Oh, in West Hollywood. That's where Jen is. That's all where all the young, beautiful people are, right, Sterling?
Yeah, which is why I don't live there.
Exactly, and me either.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You said it.
Glad I'm here. Really
Whoa,
happy to be here.
Calm down.
Things got tense fast. Wow.
So rude.
Well, maybe you should move to West Hollywood, and then we'll consider you
that's
young and beautiful.
That's a compliment. That's yeah. kind of a late one there. But.
Welcome to my life.
Good to be here. We're happy to be here.
Welcome to the show. So you guys are part of a film. You wrote the film, Sterling?
Yeah, I wrote and produced it.
You wrote and produced it.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the director on the film?
It's a guy named Kyle Roberts.
Mm-hmm. And did you know him before?
He worked with one of my friends, who's the other writer producer at the Oklahoman, which is Oklahoma City's largest newspaper, and he was the video editor at that media hub, and so I knew him always in passing, because when I would do videos with Matt, he was always the guy helping do all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
I've known him kind of off and on for 7 years. Really? Something
okay.
like that. So I knew him in passing before I got involved with Posthuman. So.
Oh, wow. So tell us about Posthuman, just so people know what we're talking about. And, you know, and then we can... We can take it from different angles and stuff, but...
Sure. Posthuman is an indie teen superhero film that we shot in Oklahoma, which is where I'm from, where it's a hometown effort, kind of.
Oh, really?
It's about five friends who go on a rock climbing expedition to help celebrate their graduation from high school. While they're there, some crazy stuff goes down. They each end up getting superpowers. And then the film follows their story as they figure out what to do with those powers, even as nefarious forces are conspiring against them and coming after them.
Wow. That's pretty cool. You know, I mean, I like this kind of stuff because it makes you think, you know. And I think also when you talk about teenagers and stuff, I guess you can go farther in writing about them, right? I mean, because sure. they're like carefree. They'll do anything.
Sure.
Right?
And there's something really interesting about, like, foisting this level of responsibility on someone who is not emotionally or physically prepared to deal with the ramifications.
Yeah, that's true.
Giving a 16-year-old kid super strength, like, what's he going to do with that?
Yeah.
And we explore bits and pieces of that, but, I mean, that's an endless story. There are stories to tell with these characters even after the end of the film.
So that's
Does
a full
that mean there's a sequel?
You're getting ahead of us here. You're getting ahead of us.
But this is definitely a full feature.
Yeah, it's
fictional.
It's a 90-minute film.
Wow. That's a pretty big ambitious. Ambition. Is that your first film?
Yes. I write comic books primarily. That's my day job. And so I write superhero stuff pretty much all the time.
Wow.
And so this is the first live-action superhero project I've been involved with.
Amazing. Wow, my daughter should have been here, man. She's getting into the comic book business, she decided.
Cool. Aww.
So I'm going to have her listen to the show and stuff because it's inspiring when, I guess you must have grown up loving comic books and everything. And
yeah.
So, and then decided to make a living out of it. I mean, that's amazing. That's a little boy's dream.
You know, my parents owned a comic store when I was a kid.
Really?
So I was surrounded by comics and superhero memorabilia from the get-go.
There you go. So it was predestined for you.
I guess. You know, when I was 13, I sort of fell out of superheroes because I figured out that girls wouldn't talk to me if I was reading a comic book. If I was playing guitar, they'd be really into it.
Right.
And so I took up guitar, and that became my focus. And then my dad passed away in 98, and we decided to sell the comic store. As we're prepping to sell that stuff, I began going through back issues and pulling out issues of The Flash, which was my favorite character at the time.
Yeah.
And The Flash's story, at that time, it was a guy named Wally West who was The Flash. And his mentor, Barry Allen, who was the original Flash, had passed away. And so Wally was trying to take up the mantle and live up to the legacy that his basically father figure had set up with him before, had done before. And that was so, I identified with that so much, again, as a teenager who had just lost a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became sort of obsessed with this character, Wally West, because I felt like he was doing what I wanted to do, which was live up to the legacy of my father. And so he became my entry point back into comics. And I decided I was going to collect every appearance that he ever had. And then that led me to other great work that was happening in comics that I had totally missed because I was focused on guitar. And then from that point on, comics became what I wanted to be involved with the most.
Right.
Unfortunately, there aren't that many college degrees involving
in
comics.
So you have to do it on your own pretty much and figure it out.
Well, I took the other option, which was studying film, which is a similar type of storytelling and a similar... It's just like comics are images juxtaposed, right, to tell a story. Filmmaking's the exact same thing. And so it was a natural fit for me to pursue a degree in film at OU, where I went to college. And then from there, I moved out here, and I got involved with the comics community out here. And then it's slowly been doing stuff Ever since 2007, I've been writing comics.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, amazing, amazing. We'll get more into that and stuff because it sounds fascinating. And I like to know how people like end up in the projects that they do, you know, because there's always like a backstory to everything. And so you're from Oklahoma. Lindsay, are you from L.A. or did you come here from somewhere else?
I'm originally from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And when did you move out here?
I've been out here for about a year and a half.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm newbie.
Yeah. So you moved out here knowing you wanted to be an actress?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. All your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
My mom, she is a high school teacher, mm-hmm. and she's in charge of the fine arts department. She does the high school musicals, and she also teaches film as a form of literature as an elective. So I've always really been into, you know, the stage and films with her. Like, when she showed me The Godfather, she brought out her PowerPoint.
Really?
Like, yeah.
She showed you The Godfather? How old were you?
Oh, I mean, like, in high school.
Really?
Or, like, what's another one that she brought the PowerPoint out for?
PowerPoint.
The Graduate. Yeah, just kind of, like, finding symbolism in the films and just everything that she teaches in the class. So I've grown up being in love with film.
And I
went to the University of Oklahoma for acting, which they accept 12 girls and 12 guys, and second oldest acting school next to Yale, which people wouldn't really think because, you know, it's University of Oklahoma. I don't know. You just wouldn't really think that, but it was a really great school. And that's
is that
how
a
I
coincidence? Oh, is that kind of. Did you meet him in Oklahoma? No.
So
is that like a coincidence?
Well, he was
you went to Oklahoma University, right?
Right. We didn't meet in college.
A coincidence.
I'd already moved out here. I mean, I moved here 10 years ago.
Right.
So.
But it's a coincidence that you both ended up in colleges in Oklahoma, no?
No.
Yeah.
Not unusual?
I mean, well, he is originally from Oklahoma, and a lot of people from Texas go to OU.
Okay.
I feel like OU
that's
like
a good
half
explanation.
Texas.
OU's a really big school.
Really? Okay. That's a good explanation.
And,
okay.
And so we pull in, you know, OU has the highest number of National Merit Scholars in America because they give full rides if you're a National Merit Scholar. And so that elevates it to a level of prestige that people want to be involved with. And OU, not to knock other universities in Oklahoma, because there are some really great universities, but OU tends to draw a huge pool of people from surrounding states and people in state.
I see.
So it's not unusual for Texans to come up to OU or people from Arkansas to come over, et cetera.
I see. And so did you, were you like in school plays and things like this when you grew up? Or is this like, did this come on later on in your life?
Yeah. Growing up, I did like community theater starting when I was 8, just all around Dallas. And I got into, really, Dallas is huge with commercials, mainly commercials and voiceover work. Mm. And so I started doing commercials when I was in high school. And then when I got out to Oklahoma, that's when I started doing films, and, it's become a great place for film work. It's a, you know, it's like a right to work state, and they film a lot of things in Oklahoma right now.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got SAG from being in Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So that was really fortunate.
Yeah. And at what point in your life did you decide you're going to move to LA?
Moment I decided I wanted, there was a time where I had wanted to do musical theater, and then there just came a point where I wasn't really feeling it anymore. And when I had my first time on set, I was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And the only place I could, you know, should go is at Los Angeles.
Right.
And I like it out here.
Come to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Cool. So how did you guys connect for the film? How did, because you're the star of the film, pretty much?
One of them,
One of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the five kids.
There are five.
Yeah.
And they're high school kids?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're obviously out of high school now. So you
yes.
had to, so you had to act as a high school student.
Yeah.
Yeah. But were you doing the casting, Sterling?
No. I wasn't involved in casting at all.
Really?
So
yeah. were you just involved in the... Well, you're the producer, too, obviously. So, you were involved in every part of it.
I worked a lot in pre-pro and a lot in post.
I see.
Production was its own beast. We had a couple really great producers on production side. I'm Wendy Parker and Shree Green. Mm-hmm. They have a company called We're in Production that does a lot of really great work in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lindsay said, like, Oklahoma is surprisingly becoming a filmmaking hub,
right?
In a way that I don't know that anyone could have predicted. And it's through a lot of really great people at the Oklahoma Film and Music Office trying to pull in larger productions on top of local people mounting small productions,
right?
So that there's always sort of something going on film-wise in Oklahoma, and no one could have ever predicted that, and
yeah.
No one could have ever, like, I never expected that. I moved 10 years ago, and so in the last 10 years, I feel like the film scene in Oklahoma has kind of exploded in a lot of ways, and it's totally different. And if it had been what it is now before I had moved, I probably would have stayed.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Because it there are so many more opportunities, especially for writers and directors. And,
right.
And
less, like, competition, probably, right?
Sure. I mean, it's a different world, and you can tell different stories in that setting than you would want to, than you tell anywhere else.
Right.
And I know guys that are developing films here to shoot there.
Yeah.
And they're going back and working with the Film and Music Office to make films work.
Right. But when you produce a film there, do you feel you're sort of like away from the action because you're not in Hollywood? Or, I mean, because I can see producing the film and everything, but what about distribution and all that stuff? Don't you have to be in Hollywood to do that?
We worked, our director is sort of a jack of all trades, and so he produced and he did visual effects and he did the editing, and one of his main things was finding distribution. So he worked with a guy from Oklahoma named Jason Connell and worked with his company to find distributors out here for the film we made there.
I see. Okay.
But Jason Connell is also from Oklahoma. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, an Oklahoma mafia.
Yeah. So apparently so, yeah.
You know, when you come from Oklahoma and you understand what that's like, I think you want to try to help as many people as possible that try to make the same trip, because it's not an easy transition. You know, when I moved here, I moved from Norman, Oklahoma, which is roughly 30,000 people when school's out of session. It's probably about 60,000 to 70,000 people when school is in session. Wow. So moving from a town that's 70,000 people maximum to here was absolute culture shock.
Right. And that's what I was wondering, you know.
I shut down.
Yeah,
I mean,
really?
I the first 6 weeks, I didn't get out of bed. I got out of bed to go to the bathroom.
Right.
But
you
for
felt
the most
what?
Part,
it was
like,
overwhelming for you?
It was
you?
Super overwhelming, and like, traffic is a crazy thing comparatively. And you know, Norman is not a tiny town, but it's a small college town.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We've got 4 million people here, you know. You can't even begin to compare.
And it's just new people, new experiences. I didn't want to deal with that at all for a while. I just wanted to sort of, like, exist in the apartment that we were renting and figure out what I wanted to do next.
Right.
And I was very fortunate to meet a guy named Jeff Johns who helped me get a job on a TV show called Blade the Series, which was in 2006.
Mm.
And from that job, I had to get out of bed. Like, I had to go. I had to drive around town. I was delivering scripts. I was picking up. My first time to Trader Joe's was because of that job. They were like, okay, go to Trader Joe's. Because I was a PA. I'm like, right. Go to Trader Joe's and get chocolate-covered pretzels, those pretzels with the peanut butter in the middle, but the salty ones, not the unsalted.
Oh, yummy.
The
good.
Blue package, not the red package. Like,
so you
and so I'm taking notes. And they walk away, and I turn to my buddy, and I'm like, so what's a Trader Joe? Because that's my first problem with this. And so having a job and being employed and working on a TV production, like, it really helped energize me and get me out of my shell and help me to meet new people and be welcoming and open to new experiences. Because, again, going from a small town to L.A. is mind-blowing at times.
That's true, yeah. Now, Lindsay, you came from a bigger town. Obviously, Dallas is pretty big. What was the move like for you?
I mean,
had you been here before in L.A.?
Yeah, I had. Yeah. I came down here for a callback and also to seek out representation when I was going into college.
I see. So, but you didn't really live here, so you didn't know. You didn't really know what you were coming to, right?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't as much as of a culture shock for me because yeah. I had come from a city. You know, I lived in, you know, in the city, Dallas. I lived like North Dallas, and yeah, we have traffic too, crazy drivers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it better out here. I do.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I miss is my family, and friends. Yeah. But
that's usually
I really
the case,
like it
right?
out here.
Yeah. Right, Jen?
Food. I miss food.
I don't know. I just see my family all the time, so I have half my family out here. So,
yeah, I do miss the Tex-Mex. I do miss that.
Do you?
It's very different. Queso is different. It's a very different experience. They just make different types of queso in Texas and Oklahoma than they do here.
I saw an article. I think it was in the New York Times, and it was like. New restaurant in New York City is offering this delicious gourmet melted cheese appetizer. I was like, so queso.
That's queso. Right. There's actually a really good Mexican place in New York called Mexican Radio. Off that, like it's named for that old song. But every time I'm in New York, I try to go. Like it's really good.
Where is it in New York?
I'd get the address. I have to Google it to figure out the train to get there.
It's funny. Go all the way to New York for Mexican food.
Isn't it weird? Yeah. I mean, it's hard living this high rolling life where that's just I just go to New York for the Mexican food.
Like no more California Mexican. I want New York Mexican.
It's got to be now.
Yeah.
We're talking to Sterling and Lindsay. Who created the film The Post-Human Project. And when's the film coming out? Is it out yet?
It's out today.
Really?
Congrats. Right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's out on video on demand. You can find it on iTunes and Amazon and PlayStation Network and Xbox Live and DirecTV and I always forget one, Google Play.
Really?
Yeah.
So anywhere, really. I mean, and that's the thing. That's the cool thing about the internet now is that you don't have to have the big budgets for distribution and marketing and all that. You can actually get your film in front of people without having to go through the big studios.
Yeah, we worked with a great distributor called Gravitas Ventures, and they've been really great in making sure we get in front of eyeballs,
right,
and making sure people see it. It's, you know, the model is changing. I mean, obviously Hollywood is going to keep putting movies in movie theaters, but your home theater system is just as valuable, I think.
That's
now
true.
That's how I prefer to watch movies.
Man, I saw Avengers 1 and 2 last night as a double feature, and there were these guys behind us talking through the whole first movie.
That would kill me.
Non-stop.
Wow.
Did not stop. And so I turned around, I was like, really? And they kept going, and I'm like, oh, do I get the usher? So we went and got the usher, and he stood next to them, and they talked. They continued to talk, and then they noticed the guy, and then they got very quiet, and they were talking very quietly.
Oh,
and I'm like, that doesn't make it better.
That is honestly like being like tapped on the whole movie. Yeah. Like the worst. That's why.
I've gotten up and left, probably.
I had paid X number of dollars to see two
Could you
awesome
have moved?
Movies.
I
no,
know.
It's ArcLight, so
you're stuck in your seat.
You're assigned a seat, and that is your seat.
Yeah.
Plus, it was a sold-out. I mean, it was a sold-out thing, so like there was nowhere to move.
So you couldn't move.
There was nowhere
anything.
To go.
Right.
It was a packed crowd, and everyone in that crowd, I mean, it's the Avengers at the 7 o'clock screening the day before the movie comes out, so everyone there is really excited. No one's going to move for me. Like,
right.
But it was really good. I mean, Avengers 2 is out today too, and it's spectacular. I mean, it's a huge movie. It's really fun. And
see it already.
It is totally different from our small indie shot in Oklahoma film.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But I mean, your film is cool. It's addressing some nice things, I think, taken right out of a comic book.
Yeah,
and it's very cool. When did you write the story?
When Matt Price, who's the other writer producer, he wrote the first chunk of it in 2012, spring of 2012, and then I got involved summer of 2012, and I think the draft that became the first shooting draft we turned in September of 2012. And then they shot, and then we did a couple more. I'm doing math. and then I think we turned in our draft right before, like the final shooting version, right before they started shooting. So that was February of 2013. Mm. So we've been on this, we've been involved with Posthuman in some way or another since 2012.
Yeah.
So it's been a long road.
Yeah, it has. And Lindsay, how long have you been involved with the film now?
I was cast in 2012.
Yeah.
Spring of 2013.
We started shooting in March and we were doing fundraising stuff a full 9 months out. So
I guess 2012.
So 2012. Yeah, that's somewhere in 2012. Yeah,
so it took a while. It's not like a Hollywood film where they finish it in 6 months or something.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah. It was like the little engine that could.
Yeah.
And
that's
going.
Very cool though. I mean, because it's like a little baby, you know, it finally comes out and you go, wow.
3 year gestating baby.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it comes out and it's not what you think it's going to be because it's been 3 years. No, it's been really good. Like the reception's been really positive. We debuted at Dead Center Film Festival, which is Oklahoma City's largest film festival. And since we're a hometown production, we felt like that's the best venue for us because they're our home film festival.
Right.
So that was June of 2014. We had a West Coast premiere at San Diego Comic-Con the next month, July of 2014. And then we ran through the festival circuit for the last, 10 months, doing festivals all over the world. And then today is our official release.
That's cool, yeah. That's what I've realized with indie films. The festival is the way to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, because you get a lot of people, a lot of professionals watching what you made,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty cool. So, now, but you haven't, so you got involved like 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and but you haven't been acting that whole time, right? I mean, how long did the shooting take?
Oh, 46 days. I'd have to look.
46 yeah. days.
So, no, I was still acting during it, too.
Really?
Yeah, because there was a lot, like, we shot the teaser summer of...
That might have been summer 2012 because that was for Indiegogo. Indiegogo.
We shot a little teaser summer of 2012. And it's funny, my character, I play Gwen. She's kind of this punk, just like badass girl. And we started out with Jenny Howsam, who did the hair for the film. We started out with her having red, pink, and purple hair, and we dyed my hair.
Yeah. I saw the picture here. I it's like in the beginning, I'm like, which one of these is Lindsay? And then I realized the hair is different.
Yeah, well, yeah. We started out with that.
Okay.
And, but then we kept postponing filming, mm-hmm. And I couldn't keep my hair that color forever.
Right.
So eventually we decided to go with just my regular hair color, but she kind of did like a faux hawk style and sprayed pink in it.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's like it's changed a lot since since the beginning. Yeah. But yeah, so I was still acting during the process of shooting and going to school.
Yeah, you were still in school.
Yeah, and going to school.
Yeah. Now, the film involves like... rock climbing and things like that, right? Did you have to strain physically for some of the roles, some of the things you did?
My character never rock climbed. I do know how to, but my character never had to actually do it.
So you never had to do like hard, heavy lifting or anything as far as physically?
No.
For the film?
No.
Okay, cool.
What was your superpower?
I threw fire.
Pink fire that matches her hair.
Really?
Which that's
really
cool.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite special effect.
It's almost a pink Power Ranger. Like, you know, like that was so popular. Like, you're the new pink Power Ranger.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Put that on your business card.
You should. The new pink Power Ranger.
Quote. Yeah.
Quote Jennifer Golden.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
So I take it each one of them got a different power out of this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I guess spoiler because...
You don't have to spoil it.
Gwen shoots fire. Josh Bonzi plays Adam Hall, and he's a teleporter. Colin Place plays Archie Burke, and he has super strength. Denny Burke is played by a guy named Kyle Whalen. He is a healer. He heals people.
Cool.
Lisa Thompson's played by Alexandra Harris, and she has telekinesis.
Wow.
So.
See, I love this kind of stuff. Let me ask you this. I mean, you love this kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the book Wired? And Amped, It's like the two books that were written by, I can't remember the guy, but you have to read this because this is totally along these lines. And this guy writes like the best books. I just discovered him. And also superpowers and things like that, but not so much in a comic book way, but more like in a Michael Crichton type of way. You
cool.
know? Yeah. So you should definitely check
it
out.
Wired?
Is Wired, the and, okay. the, and the sequel is Amped. So okay. if you just look for those two,
sure.
you'll find it.
Cool.
But at any rate, so there are like five in the cast, I see, right?
Yeah,
the,
there's five main teens and then two antagonists.
I see. And the film does take place in Oklahoma, you said?
It does. It does. Okay. It takes place in a fictional suburb called Pelion City, which is a Pokemon reference that no one that I put in there to be funny and no one caught.
No one caught it.
So it stayed. But they live in a suburb called Pelion City, which is just outside of Oklahoma City. If you know Oklahoma City, it's kind of north of Nichols Hills, if that helps at all.
Not to me, but I'm sure to some listeners.
Sure, yeah. One person out there is like, yes, Nichols Hills. I know what that is. So, but yeah, I mean, it was important. Again, you know, Kyle Roberts and Matt Price were a driving force initially. It was important to them to tell a story about Oklahomans in a way no one had ever done before.
Right.
And no one had ever made a superhero film involving Oklahomans about living there and being there and what you encounter by being there.
Right.
And they are both big John Hughes fans. Mm-hmm. John Hughes, the writer-director, famous writer-director, you need a Breakfast Club.
The Pack Rat.
Right.
Yeah. The Brat Pack.
The Brat Pack. The Pack Brat.
Yeah, the Pack Brat. I knew there was a rat or a brat there. But,
or okay. both. Yeah. And so they took a lot of cues from the Breakfast Club. Like they pulled those character archetypes from that. So it's the nerd, the jock, the princess, the weirdo. And pulled out those characters and said, what happens if we present these types of characters, but we give them superpowers halfway through?
Right.
Like, what happens to that story?
Right.
And so that was the initial plan, and here we are 3 years later, and it's out, and that's exactly more or less the story we set out to tell.
Yeah. Now, Lindsay, could you relate to the subject matter of the film? I mean, are you, like, into that kind of stuff, too? Superpowers?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely got more into superheroes and comic books from starting this film, which has been great. But, I mean, you know, going from high school to college, that's such a vulnerable point in your life, you know? And I could definitely associate with the feelings of that kind of change.
Right.
You know, not really knowing who you are, what you want. So yeah, I could definitely associate with that.
Very cool. Now, did you become friends with the cast and everything?
Yeah,
because you guys work closely together for a long time and stuff. So you guys do you hang out sometimes? Or?
Well, we are all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Scattered with the wind.
That's true. Yeah.
Josh Bonzi and Kyle Whalen went to University of Oklahoma with me, and Kyle Whalen is in Chicago, and Josh Bonzi is in
Kentucky
doing a actor's apprenticeship. And then I had just met, like, through the film, Alex Harris and Colin Place. And, Alex Harris, she's in Malibu.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her as much. And, but yeah. And then Colin is still
he's
in Oklahoma
because
he's a baby.
He's 17, I think, now.
Yeah. He had a crazy growth spurt while we were filming. Like, he started out being shorter than me. Like,
yeah,
I feel like he was like 5'3" or 4". He's like 5'4".
4'5", like 4'5".
And now he's like
and then
6 foot
shot,
or something.
Yeah, he grew about a foot between casting and shooting.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That was a surprise on set.
Yeah.
Like, remember the little guy? He's like 14. Well, now he's 15 and now he's giant.
Yeah.
So, whoa.
Through puberty.
So, I mean, you know, filmmaking, especially on this small micro budget level, like you get thrown surprises, and that was a surprise, and we tried to make it work as best we could, but you know, for good or for ill, I mean, the audience will decide.
Right.
But when you're working on this level, like, you don't have time or you don't want to recast because you like who you've cast, so you just keep trucking along, and again, like, it will be what it will be, and you hope that it'll be the best version possible.
Yeah,
and
that's
you don't
true.
Have the budget to fix things a lot of the time, so you yeah. do it the best way initially. And Colin was so strong in that role and such a great actor. Like, there was never any question of keeping
really?
Him on.
Yeah.
yeah. He's a really tall 15-year-old
yeah.
playing a 14-year-old. So. Yeah.
And that's a thing. There's tall 14-year-olds.
Sure. I was not one, but, you know, they exist.
So the characters vary in age, right? They're yeah. not all the same age.
Exactly. Yeah. The five teens, yeah. Colin's the youngest one. He's a high school freshman, and then the other four teens are high school seniors.
Oh, very cool.
So Colin's the little brother of our main character.
I see.
So
okay, well, I love films like that. You know, like when you deal with the kids or the teenagers, like Stephen King, right, writes a lot about mm-hmm. younger people,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and because there's so much imagination going on.
He wrote this book called Firestarter, which
is one of
the many things we looked at for Gwen.
Really?
And being a teenager with the pyrokinesis.
Yeah. So. I know. He's written some amazing stuff. I love him.
One of my favorite writers.
Yeah. I know. I've been reading him since The Stand, which was like 1970-something.
Right.
Know? So... But, yeah, everybody knows how old I am, so it's no secret.
No. You were vague there. Since 1970-something.
Yeah.
You probably know the exact date. You just don't want to say it for fear of dating yourself, which is fine.
Yeah. Oh, well. What can I
yeah.
say? No, people know I'm 55 years. I'm going to be 55 next week. So
oh, happy birthday. Happy early birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not looking forward to birthdays anymore like I used to be.
Yeah, because you're worried about the cake collapsing under the weight of all the candles?
Maybe, yeah.
That would be my concern.
Yeah. Right? Like 55 candles is a lot. That's like a forest fire.
Yeah. You know what? And I actually like get mad when people put like 6 candles. I'm like, I'm not 6. Like,
do you like the candles that are just numbers? So it's just like a number,
yeah,
there's 2 candles.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
I don't love them, but I mean, because they look a little cartoony to me, but also so does 6 candles, because like I'm clearly not 6 years old, you know, like put the right amount of candles. So yes, the cake may collapse.
So you should get a multi-tier cake,
right?
Like a wedding cake, basically.
Yeah.
Like three big chunks so you can do candles around, right. So the weight won't.
Guys, I'm not that old. Relax.
Bottom out.
Like 5 tiers.
You started this conversation.
No, that's true. I'm just correcting you.
That's fine. 5-tier cake.
Good cake.
So, now, Sterling, so you went to school for film, and that helped you get into comic book industry?
My degree is in art with an emphasis in film production.
Okay.
So,
but did you have to intern at any comic book companies, anything like that, anything related?
This is a long story.
Okay. Well,
I met a guy named Jeff Johns, who is, if you know the comic world, he's one of the most prolific comic book writers in the world.
Wow.
He helped me get a job on Blade the Series, which is a show he co-produced.
Uh-huh.
And then when that show ended, he hired me to be his assistant on a film he was working on. And then from there, I became his personal assistant. And I, about a year into that job, I was studying TV writing at UCLA Extension. And he said, God, it's a shame you don't want to write comics. Like, and I said, I'd love to write. Are you kidding? Like, I wrote comics for all of college. Like, my senior thesis was a comic instead of a film. And he's like, really?
Wow.
I'm like, yeah. And he's like, why didn't you ever tell me any of that? I'm like, I don't know. Do you walk up to Picasso and say, hey, I do drawings too? Like, I didn't really want to do this. Like, it's because I thought it'd be weird and awkward. And I enjoy being your assistant doing research and stuff for you. Like, I didn't want to weird anybody out, and honestly, like, your work is so much better than anything I could ever produce. And he's like, well, let's talk about training you to write comics. And so he took me under his wing as a comic writing apprentice, essentially.
Wow. So you got it from the master.
Right.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Right?
Very fortunate.
No, I'm very thankful for that time, and I'm thankful for Jeff taking me under his wing, and I still talk to him all the time, and
yeah.
He's now gone on to become the chief creative officer of DC Entertainment. And
really?
So he's like the executive producer on this new Batman Superman movie. And, he's doing all this stuff and being very successful. He also does a lot of the DC Comics TV shows. He was a co-creator on the Flash show that's on the CW. And he worked on Arrow and Constantine. And he's a really busy guy.
Yeah.
But we still try to touch base and hang out when we can.
That's true. So now in your, have you started any comic book series at all? Just
mm-hmm.
you?
Not that I draw. I don't draw
professionally. No, you don't draw, but you write it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So where can we find some of your stories and what comic books?
You know, you can go through my website, sterlinggates.com, and it's got links to pretty much all the work I've done, all the work I've had published.
That's true.
What a cool name, too, for writing comics.
Right? Thanks.
Sterling Gates.
Yeah.
I didn't pick it, so thanks.
Really? I actually have a friend named Sterling Cates, and I was like, wait, who's coming in today?
Crazy.
Yeah.
What if I meet that guy and
it's a girl. You guys should get married, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, then
she'd be Sterling Gates. She'd go from being Sterling Cates to Sterling Gates, and that'd be really bizarre.
It'd be confusing, but like kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not a lot of change there.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just add the thing for the G.
Yeah.
Or is like a C little, or a K?
She could be
it's a
Sterling Cates Gates.
Cates Gates.
Oh, cool.
If she's listening, sorry, we're having this conversation about you.
Yeah.
This is only awkward for you right now.
Right.
But remember, we were talking yesterday about women that take on, or not take on, but get, the parents name them with a boy's name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And actually some girls are born with a last name as a first name. Because Sterling is often the last name, wouldn't you say?
No.
No? Okay. What the hell do
I've
I know?
I've never encountered that.
Yeah, I know. What the hell do
just
I know?
Just the guy that owned the Clippers, right?
Yeah. No.
Wasn't his last name Sterling?
Yeah, it seems right.
Because we also have a host with the last name Sterling, so I just kind of figured.
Well,
but
maybe I'm wrong.
I'll say
I'm wrong.
No.
Here's
no.
the crazy thing about Sterling Gates. There is, in Costa Mesa, California, which is 45 minutes south, a teenager named Sterling Gates who's an actor. And so I'll get stuff like in my inbox or tweets or whatever that's meant for him.
What?
And he's like 16. Right. He's in a production this weekend, actually. And I was kind of like, is it weird if I go down to Costa Mesa and wait by the stage door with the bill and Sterling Gates, will you sign my thing? By the way, that's also my name.
Maybe.
Is that creepy?
I mean, the way you said it is kind of creepy.
All right.
Especially since he's 16.
I'm just checking. I just wanted to check.
But
how random is that? That like there are two Sterling Gates within a 45
mile radius. And both in entertainment. Yeah.
Right. Really.
Have you ever tweeted at him at his whatever he is? Sterling
no.
Gates?
You should.
No.
Is he like underscore?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
See, I friended a few people that have the same name as me on Facebook, but that was some time ago in the beginning when I was curious to see. So some of them we're still in touch with, you know, like last year.
Do you guys have conventions?
All the people named
I wouldn't say
Sam.
That, no. There's not many.
Small conventions.
Not many Sam Hassons in the world. Maybe there's more Sterling Gates, I'm sure. If we found Sterling Cates already, then,
yeah.
you
know.
Weird.
That's so crazy.
Really weird.
All right, so let's summarize everything. The film is The Posthuman Project, and let us know again where people can watch it.
You can check the website posthumanmovie.com. To find links to all the places it's available right now. iTunes, just search for it on iTunes and you can find it instantly.
Right.
But
it'll probably
it'll
Google
be,
it or something.
Yeah.
Come
and,
up.
And that'll take you to our website and it'll be available through all those venues I listed 5 minutes ago.
Sounds cool. And if you guys are into adventures and things like this, I think that's going to be right up your alley. I love this. And, I congratulate you for the film. You know,
thank you.
We thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
us.
Of course, and I'm definitely going to make a point to watch this. So it's a 90-minute film.
Yes, sir.
Right, and very cool, man. So congratulations to you.
Thanks.
Jen was asking you about a sequel, but you're not willing to talk about one yet.
My joke back was like, you're getting ahead of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's sort of we're in a holding pattern right now to see how it does.
To see how the first one does.
You know, I mean, it was such a large undertaking and such a long period in our lives.
Right.
Between me and Kyle and Matt, like we've been involved for so long on this. I think now that it's out, it's just a matter of how are people going to react to it?
Right.
And is it going to be successful to the point where people want to see more of these characters?
Right.
I have a story for, I have more stories for these characters. It's just a matter of seeing what happens next,
right?
To see what happens.
Well, we'll have to watch it, and then we'll tell you if it,
yeah.
if it requires
tweet
a sequel
me.
Or not.
I'm at Sterling Gates, all one word.
So
Twitter.com.
And Lindsay, where can people find you?
Instagram, Twitter, IMDb.
Okay. Lindsay Sawyer.
Lindsay Sawyer.
Yes. And and you guys can find out about the rest of the cast and everything on the website. You said the
posthumanmovie.com.
Posthumanmovie.com.
All one word.
So and make we're sure on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as well.
I'm not a public Instagram.
No, Posthuman Project is.
Oh, yeah. But here's the trick. It's Posthuman Project, but there's no E in project.
Okay.
Just because we want things to be confusing.
Yeah, that's right.
But you'll never find us.
I didn't name it.
Well, congratulations on the film. It's coming
Thank
out
you.
Tonight or today.
Today, yeah. It went live at midnight. I started, I was in Avengers, and my East Coast friends started blowing up my phone.
Wow, how cool. Stuff. And now you can just sit back and count all the views and everything and hope that it does
See
well.
See what happens, yeah. I mean, it's really great to... I like putting work out in the world, and I like waiting and seeing what the response is, because there's never any way you can predict.
Right. And that's what an artist is.
People bring themselves into the work, and they either identify or not with characters, and they can get mad at you for choices or love
yeah,
you for choices.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'll let you know. I mean, comic fans are very... they're rabid, and they're very vocal. And I love talking to fans. In part because they're so passionate about stuff that you're also passionate about. I wrote Supergirl for 3 years, and Supergirl fans are crazy excited about that character.
Really?
And so it's always been really fun to talk to fans. And now, with Posthuman, this is something totally new. There are no preconceptions, and so people are coming in not knowing what it is outside of what they've heard or what they've seen on the trailers and stuff.
Right.
And so it's really, I'm excited to see how people respond to these characters, if they respond. I mean, there's just no way to know.
Right, exactly. But that's what art is, you don't
Very
make
vulnerable.
It so, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't make what you think people would want. An artist makes what they want. They express themselves, and then they hope that people like it.
Right.
You know.
Or hate
so
it. I mean.
Yeah, well, you don't hope that they hate it.
No. We want, sure. But in terms of art, I mean, we make things to see how people react, and some people, sometimes you make stuff just to see if people will not like it.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, you want people to at least talk about it, not be glaze
but we're,
over.
We're hopeful people enjoy Posthuman. I mean, it's been a long road for us, and we're glad that release day is finally here.
Awesome.
We'll break a lot.
The Posthuman Project, everybody, go ahead and watch that. Sterling, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All the best to you. Jen, have a great weekend.
You too.
And we'll see everybody on Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.